thank you that we can come to you in prayer, that even right now we are live around the world. Lord, we have no idea the effect of what's going to take place with the different people who are praying. We know, Lord, that you are a God that heals, that you are the greatest healer. And Lord, we ask that you would especially touch each one of these people that we've named. And Lord, we pray for the LaVia family, that you would bless them and comfort them and encourage them. And Lord, as they travel coming up to New Jersey for the burial, I pray, Lord, that you would give traveling mercy and grace. We thank you now, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And the congregation says, amen to that. Turn to Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. The title for tonight's message is The Multifacets or Features, which the words basically mean the same thing, facets, features, of Psalm 37. Now, I'm not going to hit every verse, but what I'm going to do is what a jeweler who wants to sell a diamond will do at times. If he has a nice diamond, I know several of you have probably been out buying diamonds lately to store up and, you know, save for your retirement. But they'll hold it and they'll put it against something black so that the facets of the diamond in certain light can shine out and the different lights and colors and textures can be seen of each facet as the diamond is turned on the black cloth. Now, that's what Psalm 37 is. It's a diamond. It's a diamond that has many facets to it, but I'm not going to hit every single one of them. I've just picked out a few, and then we'll end with one that will help us to, I believe, realize God's mercy, hope, grace, and ability to help us through any and all situations that come our way. Psalm 37 is like a beautiful diamond that can be held up to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ and could show us such beautiful facets and features, and can help us deal with things such as worry and anger and evildoers and their end, and faithfulness to the ways of the Lord and the results of resting in God. And in all of these things, within the very text itself, are the answers to how we can accomplish each one should we run into one of these situations which happen around us all the time, at work, home, no matter where we're at. So the first one, the first facet we'll look at is verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 37. Verses 1 and 2, a psalm of David. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither like the green herb. You can worry or be so angry about things sometimes that you end up putting yourself in an early mental grave. You can worry, you can fret, you can be angry over the situations of the government, of the world, of just about anything that comes your way, or you can allow God to intervene on your behalf, which is the facet that's held up to us in just these first two verses. The feature is very simply that David is saying, do not fret because of evildoers. Now, do we deal with evildoers every day of the week? You can say yes or no. Okay. I mean, just for example, tonight's news. You would not think that a 375-pound lineman for the Miami Dolphins would go home, would quit football because of being hazed and heckled and spoken about on his team. But it was on world news tonight. You would think a guy that big would be able to deal with any situation whatsoever. Parents went to Harvard. He went to Stanford. But I'm going to tell you this. At any given time, any given place, somebody can get under your skin. And they can get deep under your skin if you'll allow them to. We're told in the psalm right here, don't fret, don't worry, don't be angry because of evildoers. They're all around you. I'm an evildoer at times. I have to repent every single day. They're the thoughts that cross my mind at times. It's just out of the blue, it seems. Some thought will come my way towards somebody that has said something, or the way that they looked at me. It brings out the old spirit, you know, again. The old man rises up within me and wants to take out a little bit of vengeance, a little bit of wrath. And I have to remember that the Lord said, judgment is mine. You leave it alone. I'll take care of it. And since evildoers are all around us, we need help continually, or we'll end up in an early mental grave. We have to be careful, or we'll let things that are out of our control control us. You ever had a situation in your life where totally you couldn't do a thing about, but you let it manipulate you and maneuver you in every single thing you did? You couldn't stop thinking about it. Lay awake at night. God says, don't fret, don't worry, don't be angry. There will always be evildoers until the final day when Jesus wraps everything up. And that's coming soon, I hope. I get very upset at times. Situation, for instance, that took place today. From 9 till noon this morning, I sat in an auditor's office. A lady, when we walked in, owed $561,000 in taxes. When we walked out, she only owed $53,000. Well, I thought that was an improvement. Then I thought, $53,000? How has anybody come up with that much money to pay the government? And then I ran into a statistic about the government that said that only 43% of the people pay their taxes. And their new computer system that's out now is going to be getting more and more people. You know, the scripture says we are to pay our taxes, but to be hounded by the government over it, that makes me angry. And it makes me feel like the government wants to take, and never give to the right people. I want to manipulate the government. God says, leave it alone. You get in trouble. You try to manipulate things that are not in your control, and you're going to lose out in the long run and end up being mad, angry, fretting, worrying, and helping absolutely nobody, especially yourself. It's like a story I told here, I don't know, it was in 2 or 3 years ago, about the angel of death. The angel of death was seen one day by a guy walking towards his little village, his city. And the man stopped him and said, what are you doing here? And the angel of death said, I'm going to kill 5,000 people in your city here today. The man said, that's horrible. Death said, that's the way it is. That's what I do. So as the day passed, the man, to try to help out, raced around the city as fast as he could and told everybody that he met that the devil, the angel of death, was in town and that he was going to kill 5,000 people. All day long, he told people this, warned them. At the end of the day, the man learned that close to 10,000 people had died that day. So as he saw death leaving town, he stopped him angrily and said, you told me you were only going to kill 5,000 people, yet almost 10,000 people died today. Death explained, I only killed 5,000. You killed almost 5,000 yourself by worrying them to death, by telling them that death was in town. See, we can come into a situation and we can make it better or we can make it worse by the way we deal with the issue, by the way that we use. We can use the scripture to help our situation. As Pastor Bill tells us week after week, use the Bible. This is our toolkit, our book that to use to for every situation. Now, is it some magic thing that, you know, if you get a big enough one and you just go like really, really press it up tight against somebody, it'll just fix it like that? Boy, don't you wish. I used to think that the bigger and blacker the Bible, the heavier it was, and the harder you could swing it, the more you'd get done for Jesus. That was only 30-something years ago. You notice it's gotten smaller since then, of course. And I realized that didn't work too well when I got beat up a few times. But we get involved in things. We start worrying and fretting. We're not helping anybody. So a facet to look at, a feature of Psalm 37 is let God have control of the situation. Don't worry about it. Don't fret about it. Be ready for things like death, such as I spoke of the Levia family. It was, you could just feel the somberness of the event that took place. Death happens around us continually. We're not to fret about it, but be ready for it. Just be ready for it. Fretting, being angry, worrying, these are words that are in our vocabulary and express the characteristics of common man continually. I hear them during the day from people. I'm so worried about, am I going to be able to pay that bill? I'm so worried about this, or, man, is this getting to me? Or, I'm so mad about, you should have heard what they said to me or about me the other day. Almost daily I hear things like that that come across, either on the phone or people that I talk to. In the New Testament, the word is translated careful, which is actually means you switch it around a little bit. It's full of care. Be full of care for nothing. Be full of care for nothing. But in all things, as we're told in Philippians 4, verse 6, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart, your mind in Christ Jesus. So the first facet is the facet that helps us to understand that God's going to take care of the evildoers in the world. Don't try to control what you can't control, or it'll end up controlling you. Why? Because life is but a vapor. It's here and then it's gone. It's interesting talking to young men that I work around during the day. And they're 17, 18 years old. You know, not a care about the future whatsoever. Everything is here and now on me. It's about me. It's all about me, everything I do. I'm talking on the phone here, can't you see? You even got phones you put around your neck now. You can't tell if they're talking on the phone or not when you go up. And then you see that something's stuck in their ear on the other side. You've been talking to them for 10 minutes. But now listen, once you get 60, 10 minutes is a long time. And, you know, they've got all, you try to say, look, you got all this time in front of you, you know? And I've been talking to you about something important for 10 minutes now. And he said, oh, sorry. So I don't have that many minutes left, you know? So you have to be careful what you let take control of your life, and that life is short and it needs to be sweet. And I so wish I could have made it. I so wish in the past years I'd made it sweeter than I did. For Marie, for me, not who cares, but for Marie, I wish I could have been sweeter than I was, so that I'd never have anything I'd have to look back at and say, you know, man, I'm so sorry I acted like a jerk. And I continually want to be in control. And God says, let it go. Psalm 39:5 says, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. And then we're told in James chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, listen to what it says. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city. We'll spend a year over there. We'll buy, we'll sell, we'll make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. It's like on a cold day, that vapor you see come out of your breath, your mouth. It's here and gone, just that quickly. That's what our life is. At our time here on earth, in comparison with eternity is nothing. Don't let worry, fretting, or being angry control the time you have left. Let God have your time so that the rest of your life you can give to something, you can help something or somebody that will mean something beyond now on into eternity. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. Only what you do for Christ. If you remember, let's see, today's Wednesday. I guess it was a week ago, Pastor Bill quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. He said, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he'll receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. I imagine there's going to be a whole lot of smoke of the bears coming through pearly gates, don't you? And just imagine a whole lot of Christians that are going to be smelling like smoke, but they made it. And I may be probably one of them. But we've got to let the things of life now not control us, but ask God to take control of each situation. Too many men and women feel in our society today that they're indispensable, that you can't get by without them, that if they weren't around, they're God's gift to humanity. Some feel that way. I ran into a quote by Charles de Gaulle before he passed away. He said, the cemeteries are filled with indispensable men. Filled with indispensable men. You're not indispensable. Let God do what God does best. And God does everything best, doesn't he? So the first facet is a beautiful facet of don't fret. Don't be angry about the world and the things going on. Go to God. Give it to him. Let him control it. Don't let it control you. Leads us into our next section. We're shown the cure for worry and anger. And the cure is trust. And I was just noticing today when I looked at trust, and on paper, it's got a cross on each end. It's just a little something I ran into. You know, a T on each end. It's like trust. Think of the cross when you see the word trust. Think of the cross of Jesus Christ, that it's there we can go to. It's there we've been called to go to when we need to trust in him for the things that he's going to do, wants to do in our lives, and is doing in our lives. Facet number two, let's look at verses 3 through 5. Trust in who? Trust in your money. Trust in your retirement. Trust in, I can't think of anything better than the Lord to trust in after all these years. Trust in the Lord, but you're not just left hanging right there. You know, it's just you walk up to somebody, and it's like the doctor. You say, take 2 aspirin and call me in the morning. Or you walk up to a Christian sometimes, and they say, take 2 scriptures and call me in the morning. This says, trust in the Lord and do good. Put some action, put some traction to what you're trusting in the Lord. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. I've heard this used like a carte blanche card before. Where, do you mean preacher? I've actually been asked this before when I first started out. I can ask for any desire I have, and God's going to give it to me because I'm one of his kids. Without considering that, the desires that God will then put in your heart will be the desires that are the right desires. He wants to fulfill the desires of your heart that he has placed in there. Do good. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Feed on his faithfulness and let him do the things that he does best as you commit your way to him. I would like to be able to say to you that I delight in the Lord 100% of the time, but I don't. There's times that I'm tired of this world. You know, I'm tired of the struggles. I'm tired of people dying. I'm tired of people being sick. I'm tired of people getting cancer. I'm tired of seeing situations that I can't help, or I don't have enough money to help. Or, you know, I think, well, if I was Bill Gates, I would throw money over here and money over there. But I find out that sometimes throwing money at a situation doesn't help the situation, that it just creates a bigger problem. Look back at the people who have won lotteries or large amounts of money and see what happens to their lives at times. If I'm delighting myself in the Lord, he is truly the joy and the delight of my life, then the desires of my heart are for him and for the things concerning him. And that's why I say I don't all the time. Sometimes I let other things get involved, and I as soon as I stop delighting myself in the things of the Lord, I find out I start fretting or I start getting angry, and I try to control things that I can't control. Facet number 3 is found in verses 6 through 11. Psalm 37, verses 6 through 11. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. See, I hate that word patient. Don't you? Why did I ask you that? Nobody's going to say you hate it. It's like the first Bible study I had, the first one of our first services, we had an optometrist there. He was the first member of our church, the first church I started 30 years ago or however long it was. It seems like a lifetime. And one night I said, I'm taking prayer requests. He said, Pastor, he said, I like to pray for patience. I said, listen, God knows how to give you patience. God knows when you need a trial to bring patience into your life. You know, I'd been in the Lord 3 years and a pastor for, you know, a couple of years, and I thought, man, I know everything about the Bible, right? So patience, James chapter 1, you know. And so when we got done, he came up to me and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, Pastor, I was talking about patients to come in for their eyeglasses. He said, our business has been down a little bit, and I don't need patience like you. I want the other kind of patience. And I said, well, you're going to get it anyway now, because I prayed for it. But I learned a little lesson in that one, to be careful about listening to prayer requests. The facet, it's a beautiful facet. He said, he'll bring forth your righteousness as the light. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Now, this is an interesting word here, the anger. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, because this word fret is the same one used in verse 1. And 84 out of 88 times, the Hebrew word for it means anger, not worry. 4 times it means worry. In essence, he's saying, listen, you see somebody that's prospering in their way, don't get mad about it. Don't get all shook up about it. Don't lose your cool over it. You know, it's God raises and God lowers. God lifts some up in authority and he lets others go down. It's all up to him. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. It only causes harm. 4, verse 9, evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, inherit the earth. This earth, I don't want this earth. I don't want to go hug a tree. I have before. A giant redwood, couldn't get my arms around it. wasn't that big at the time. But the new earth that's coming, that God's going to make, we can't even imagine what streets of pure gold are going to be like. And gates of gigantic pearls and the different, how beautiful it's all going to be. We can't even come close to it, imagining it. Verse 10, for yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place and it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. How often do you hear the phrase, man, I'd sure like a peaceful night's sleep? You know, growing up, I could be sitting in a chair and you just fall asleep for nothing, you know? Watching a movie or something, you know, you just fall asleep. Fall asleep in the car. Then you didn't have to be comfortable. You just fell asleep. Now that I'm older, things keep me up sometimes at night. You know, thinking of situations and God says, listen, I want you to have peace. I want you to rest in peace. And one of the ways that can take place is to cease from being angry about things that happen in this life to you and to others around you. Notice especially verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. If you only knew some of my past, I don't want you to tell anybody else this, okay? But my wife knows this. I got her in enough fights. But I was so mad at, because I'd been raised up as a Christian and came to the Lord at 10 years old, and I knew that God was calling me to be a pastor. I knew it, I'd beyond a shadow of a doubt. Yet I walked away from him. I walked away from the Baptist college I was going to. Well, after a while then, I started going into bars and just looking at people and staring at them till they'd fight me. Smart, wasn't I? I have hit more people's fists with my face than you'd probably ever imagine. I have been in fights with 5 guys, 7 guys, 3 guys, had the windows knocked out of the car. Why? I was an angry man without God's peace. I caused so much harm. So of course he's going to say, do not fret, do not be angry. It's only going to cause harm. Quoting from Mattoon's Treasures of the Psalms, I think he stated this part very well. Listen to what he says. When someone is described as fretting, we usually interpret the word to mean they are fearful or they're worrying. But that does not seem to be the correct translation of the word here. The Hebrew word for fret used here in verse 8 is the word kara, which means to be hot, furious, incensed, indignant, to burn, to be angry. How'd you like to be around a person like that all the time? How are you like that all the time? You don't want to be that way or around those type of people. The word deals overwhelmingly with anger and fury, not worry and fear. Perhaps the first thing God wants us to deal with, the first facet that's in our lives sometimes that just busts out, is don't be angry. Don't allow anger to control your actions because you're just going to cause harm. Listen, I have said things to people I still remember. I'll never see those people again. They're in other states and other worlds now as far as I know. But I said things to them that I can't take back. Hateful things. Wrathful things because I was such an angry man. It only causes harm. And I believe this makes so much sense that when facing the conflicts and complications that we have in the life, this daily walk as a Christian, we tend to lose our cool, explode, or lose our temper, especially. If the evildoer is an unfaithful husband or wife, a belligerent neighbor, a harsh boss, or an oppressive government, we lose control. When we really didn't have control in the first place, we lose the control we had over our own mind, our own desires, our own ability, our own temperance, and the importance of us being a conqueror through anger becomes the ultimate goal in our life. Now let's take a jump forward to verses 27 through 31 and look at facet number 4. Now there's only 39 facets, so we're getting there, okay? 27 through 31. Depart from evil and what? Do good. Depart from evil and do good. And dwell forevermore. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his saints. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. Remember I told you the things that used to come out of my mouth? They weren't things of wisdom. They were things of anger. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. The law of God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. I love the section of scripture that says, though you fall, fail, mess up, slip, slide away, 7 times, says he's there to pick you back up again. Greg Laurie, about 25 years ago, I heard him make a statement at a conference. He said, being a Christian is like climbing a greased flagpole. You go up 3 hands and slide back down 2. Harder you try to get up, the harder you try to be a Christian, the more you're going to slip down the flagpole. It's hard being a Christian. It's even harder if you're not allowing him to control every facet, feature, aspect of your life. I'm going to look at a collection here now from what we've just seen in these facets of action words, so that it's like putting some application to what we've just learned about some of the facets. First of all, from verses 3 through 5, said, trust in the Lord and do good. Do good. Secondly, take delight in the Lord. Third, turn over, commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. And now from verses 27 through 31, he states, depart from evil. And again, he says, do good. He will never abandon his saints. And the law of God is in your heart. See, when you became a Christian, you became a new creation. And God took out your old stony, hard heart and gave you a soft heart. And then he wrote his scripture on your heart. So over the many years now of being a Christian, so many questions and new Christians that come away, they say, so I want to witness so desperately to this one person, but how am I going to remember the scripture? And I can't have a Bible at work with me. How am I going to, what will I know what to say? And yet in the scripture itself, it states in John chapter 14 that the Holy Spirit's going to give you the words you need when you need them. Amen. But then he gets the credit, not you. God will bring it to you. God's right there with you. God's right there for you. And it's one of the most beautiful facets of this part of Psalm 37. Because you see, as we follow God, committing our lives to him, we can trust in his grace to sustain us. You see, the grace of God frees a man or a woman from fear, worry, fretting, being angry, if you'll allow it. You see, you have to allow it. You can control God by not allowing him to help you cease from worrying, cease from being angry, cease from being a person who doesn't want to have anything to do with the things of God. You can stop him, but only you. Nobody else can stop him for you or keep him from you, but you can stop him yourself. He's to be accepted as he is. He's God. And when we come to God asking for mercy and for grace, it reminds me of that Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, where it states, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." See, Psalm 37, all of the Psalms are basically my favorite books of the Bible because they're all beautiful little diamonds. Some of them are in the rough and you got to dig them out. You got to find the most beautiful facets of them and the parts of them that'll help you the most in your time of need. And as I was thinking through this after finding out last night when I found out I was going to be teaching tonight and then sitting down with that wonderful tax auditor today for three glorious hours, knowing I was going to be putting this message together, I thought, how can I take now this diamond that we've been looking at against this black, dark cloth of a world, all these facets, how can we show it so that it would be something I could give you to take home with you, an application? I feel we can conclude with these three following facts. First, truth is on the side of the godly. God will settle every account. Facet 5 shows us this. Look at verses 32 through 34. The wicked watches the righteous. It's so cool when you bust somebody watching you when you're doing something cool that's really good, when you're helping somebody out. And or you have somebody at work that they watch you all the time. They hate you too sometimes. Say, how do good are you? Oh, you come in, you can't even think of the words. They're continuing. You're always being watched. But you know what? You've got a guardian angel. It says in Hebrews, you got the Holy Spirit with you continually. You got Jesus at your side. And I'm going to tell you another secret. Sometimes it bothers me because I want to get away with things sometimes. And I know he's there and he ain't going anywhere. The wicked watches the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you shall see it. So we can conclude that truth is on the side of the godly, and God's going to settle all accounts for us. Secondly, we see the facet number 6 in verses 35 through 36. We must keep an eternal perspective on life. An eternal perspective on life. Verse 35. I have seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a native green tree. Yet he passed away, and behold, he was no more. Yet I sought him, but he could not be found. When I read this scripture, I always think of Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar, where it talks about in Daniel, they made the statue of, remember? And he eventually was out eating grass in the field when he denied God one time. God said, I'll turn you into an animal then. Go out and eat some hay with the horses. And his fingernails grew long. He was like a beast of the field. We've got to keep the right perspective on God and his ability, and it's got to be an eternal perspective, that on this side of glory, we're preparing to go to the next side of glory. And this is just a vapor on this side of glory to go to a long time on that side of glory. And on that side of glory, even if I'm smelling like smoke when I get to that side of glory, I'll be that side of glory. And that all depends on him, and that's the facet that we see in this set of scriptures. Now, the third is, we have truth, we have time, the eternal perspective, and now we see that trust is on the side of the godly, and we see facet number 7 in verses 37 through 40. This is such an interesting verse. It's like It's like using finding a permanent, you know, those black permanent magic markers that I'm so good at ruining pants with. You know, I mean, I get some nice, these black pants, you notice, right? Black marker on black, you can't see it, can you? But I have some khakis that have three dots that with a permanent marker. And I asked Marie to get it. Can you get this? It's permanent black ink. And I couldn't get it through my head. They then became work pants. Right here, verse 37, when it says, mark the blameless man, it means you hone in on someone, a blameless person who's following the Lord, and you mark them like you've got a black permanent magic marker. And you mark them real good, and you watch them. You watch their lifestyle, and you watch them follow the Lord. And when they imitate Jesus, you imitate Jesus. But when they imitate something they shouldn't be doing, don't imitate that. But you find them and you mark them. They're around. It says, and observe the upright. The upright means the righteous, the right standing, the ones who are trying to do the right thing. For the future of that man is peace. Verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The future of the wicked shall be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. That's beautiful, isn't it? He's their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. So you have time, you have trust on your side, and you have truth on your side when the Lord is on your side. But much more, are you on the side of the Lord? You see? The Lord's for you. You know, do you believe that? The Lord is for you. He wants to help in every situation. And only you can stop him from helping by not allowing it to take place. As I was considering the one major facet that I was talking about that we could pull from this whole psalm, and then I could just take it and hand it to you, and you could go home with it, comes out of verse 5 and 6. Let me just read it to you. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. You see, when the light, the right light, hits a diamond, it turns the room into a rainbow of color, of beautiful pictures and facets. And that's so much what I want. I wish, I'm trying for my life to be as it winds down. I want it to be something that when held up to the light, it shows others something that they think is beautiful, that they think is worthwhile, that they think is trustworthy, that they think is helpful, that they think will help them to make it a little bit longer. Trust in the Lord and do good. Stick with it. Don't give up. Give in to God, and he will give you the desires of your heart, a heart that's without worry, that's without fear, and that's without anger. Now, in all of these scriptures I brought out tonight, knowing that I am in a room full of human beings, I know that every single one of you in here has had to deal with one of these issues. So as we close off tonight, and David, you can come on up now if you would, I'd like to just like to pray for all of you as one group before we sing and close and go our way home. Because listen, life is a vapor, and we don't know how much of that vapor is left. And there are so many people around us that need to see the things that we saw in this multifaceted Psalm 37 tonight that we looked at, that we can keep in our heart. one piece, one facet, one part. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and that we can go to it continually. We're still able, Lord, to go to it and ask for you to help. And Lord, someday I look forward to that time when I can say that I'm continually 100% of the time desiring to want to be exactly like you and to not be angry at times and to always want to do good in every situation. God, strengthen each one here tonight. Where there's healing that's needed, I pray that you would touch, for you're the great physician, the balm of Gilead. You're the healer of mankind. And Lord, where there are financial needs, I pray that you would take care of those. For you own the mountains and the cattle upon them. And Lord, I pray that you would take care of there's anger or worry, fretting. That you would help us to turn those things over to you here tonight. We bless you. We thank you for being a God who cares. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen.